headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa, to the rest of Africa, this is CII Radio Live.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Bumper to Bumper, another week, another Friday of your favorite motoring show, Bumper to Bumper. A happy Friday to everyone out there. My name is Jameel Ismail, and as always, I'm with my co-driver. Co-driver, what's your name again?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's Ziad Plachis.
There we go. Ziad, it's been such a long week. I had to just double check, you know?
Yes, it has been a long week. How was your week?
My week was work busy, so not great busy. But that was my week. I mean, it's really heated up this week. I think we're full swing into summer. Yes. Like I say, we always just dodge spring, you know.
Yeah. So you weren't car busy?
No, not really. I am driving the Ford Ranger, but not car busy. I mean, there was no like major launches this week. I think there was something from Mahindra this week where they opened up a training facility. But what about you? How was your week?
Trying to dodge load shedding.
Oh my goodness, they slapped us this week. Yes. Eh? It was like stage six is so hectic because from the time you get home, right? So I get home about 5-6 o'clock. We don't have lights up until like 10 o'clock. Some days. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy because that's the time where you're like, you know, when you get home, just kind of unwind, unpack for the day. The kids are busy with, you know, their work and stuff like that. And it's just, it's literally like you look at it as, when is load shedding ending? And let my night start then, you know, which is crazy at 10 o'clock to be starting your night.
Yeah. And during the day, it's quite bad as well by us. And it affects the network as well. So it's not only just, you know, there's no electricity. Yes. It's that, you know, you don't have network, you can't work. So,
no, you know what? It literally brings small companies to their feet, honestly. Yeah. I mean, you're running your own business. You have your own offices and stuff. What is load shedding like? I mean, what happens during that time? What do you do?
You have to look for something else to do.
Right. So you haven't looked at investing in like either solar or inverters?
So fortunately for us, we can, you know, run the business from anywhere. So we can go out. So that's not a problem.
Okay.
But if we want to be at home during that time, you know, it becomes a bit frustrating.
No, it does. It does. I won't lie to you. Something that kind of our escape. We get in the car and we go for a drive.
Yeah.
It gives me a time to like actually review the vehicles. But also just gets the family out of the dark house. We've got like the solar lights and stuff going, but there's just so much you can do. I mean,
there's a lot of things to do. It's just, like I say, it's becoming a bit much, you run out of things to do.
Yeah. No, I think we were very well behaved when it was like bricks. Yeah. And I just don't think we could handle that sort of power. You know?
But on the note of load shedding, tomorrow is World EV Day.
Something that you promised you're going to educate me about, because listeners, let me just say this outright. I am not your go-to EV guy. To date, I've driven one EV vehicle,
the EQE,
Mercedes-Benz. So they start me off on the very top.
Okay.
But that's as far as I go. It's not something that really interests me. I know that, you know, for the environment and blah, blah, blah. But I know a lot of research has actually gone into just the mining of the lithium. And how much of, like, you know, pollution and stuff that causes. So I don't want to get into that debate of whether we actually need it or not. And, you know, ICE engines versus EV. And you have this massive smile on your face. I'm sure you're ready with all the comebacks and the research behind it. But, talk to me.
So what is EV, firstly?
So it's electric vehicles?
Yes.
Okay. You put me on the spot there.
Okay, so tomorrow is World EV Day, right? It's basically to get people educated, like you said, about electric vehicles. Okay. So people around the world, not so much in South Africa, because we don't have a big community as such. We don't have a big enough fleet, EV fleet. Right. You know, there's not a lot of manufacturers that are producing electric vehicles here in South Africa. We'll go through that as well, what you can look at here in South Africa, what's to come. Yes. But basically, countries like in Australia, Malaysia, the US, where they have the bigger communities, they actually said, let's get together, even if it's in the car park at a charging station or whatever, meet up, you know, like, you know, it's basically like your car clubs, so your breakfast run.
So it's like our local ones. We all meet up, we rev our cars, yeah. Stuff like that.
Well, they charge their cars. And so that's basically what happens. They have other events. People decide, you know, like we're going to have an actual event besides just a meetup.
Right.
And that's basically what the World EV Day is.
Right.
Okay. So yeah, in South Africa, in fact, 2 weeks ago, was it 2 weeks ago? The Festival of Motoring.
Yes.
A word that was on a lot of people's mouths was aura.
Yes.
Right. So I heard a lot of people saying, did you check out the aura? Have you seen the aura? People on the phone, and they said, you have to come and see the ORA,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that was the buzzword at the Festival of Motoring, was the aura.
So just tell us, what is it exactly?
Okay. So GWM, Great Wall Motors, the aura fits into their marquee, okay. Right? So GWM, Haval, and now aura. So aura is... it's a compact city car.
Okay.
Right?
It looks really nice. I won't lie. Just visually, in your mind, think of like, say, a Mini Cooper, think of a Fiat 500, think of like, you know, that sort of car. That's where it kind of fits in style-wise.
When I first saw it, I thought it was a smart car.
Oh, yes. I even forgot about those.
So, so that's exactly what it is. It's a compact city car, but it's an electric vehicle. So it's one of the smallest electric vehicles. I don't know if it is worldwide, but in South Africa, it will be the smallest electric vehicle to come to South African shores.
Okay. Have they shared pricing and things with us?
So, funny enough, you asked that. The pricing that we're looking at for the Aura, they're starting from 716,900.
Okay.
That's the entry level. But then there's a big jump. It's 915,900.
Okay, so I don't know anything about electric vehicles, but already I'm going to buy a Volvo. So it's the XC30.
The EX30.
Yes, yes.
So the EX30 is the smallest electric vehicle SUV at the moment.
Okay.
So that particular car is, so firstly, big smile on my face.
Right.
South Africa is one of the top 10 countries that have pre-ordered the car. They've got so many, they've got, I think, over 150 pre-orders.
The Volvo
EX30.
Yeah. Okay.
It's due to land, I think, next year. The pricing starts from 775,900.
Which is not a bad price considering it's an EV and a Volvo.
Well, that's what we're talking about now. The Aura is coming at 716. That's a compact city car. Your Volvo EX30, which is a, let's call it a crossover. We haven't really seen it in real life yet, but we've seen pictures, and that's 775,900. Now, the other one in that price range, which is the cheapest electric vehicle at the moment here in South Africa, is the Mini Cooper SE.
Yes.
That's 750,000.
Okay, so they're all playing around that, call it startup 7-something mark.
Yeah. But if you're looking for, obviously, family-wise, the Volvo is obviously going to be a better choice.
Sure. It's nice seeing something, call it price-focused from Volvo. But also, I really like how it looks.
Yes.
I mean, I'm really not into those futuristic designs. And you know what? It hurts me. But... I guess if this is the way everyone's going, we might as well embrace it, right?
Well, everybody has to, even the manufacturers. Mm-hmm. So the German manufacturers are actually feeling the pressure right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they are looking at partnering with the Chinese automakers, auto manufacturers. The Chinese auto manufacturers obviously have come into the game now, and they can produce the EVs at a faster pace as opposed to the European market, where they're transitioning to the EV market. So Volkswagen actually struck a deal with, I think it's Xpeng, who's one of the Chinese automakers,
right,
to do two models in the next few years for them.
Okay.
So they know that they're not producing at a rapid pace that the public wanted at.
Yeah.
So they're actually looking at the Chinese automakers. So they're collaborating with them to
So get funny this. That you mentioned VW, because this week in Munich, they actually they showcased a Golf ID or something.
Oh, yes.
Did you see it? It's like the new GTI, basically, but fully electric. Yes. And then also a people carrier, which is like the Kombi that we know and love, but fully electric. But my whole, call it, gripe, besides the fact of, you know, it's taking away from like the gearhead motor side of motoring. Firstly, I don't think Africa is ready for stuff like this. Secondly, if we had to go back to that research of the amount of pollution and how much of energy is used mining the lithium, I don't know, have you looked into
that? I have looked into it, and it's a debate you're going to have about the fossil fuels as well.
Because you know what's another very big debate at the moment, and I don't know if you looked into it, but global warming is actually just it's not a real thing. It's just some people who are, like, we're trying to stop the sun from being hot.
I think we should have this on another discussion.
Okay.
But, yeah, so EV Day is tomorrow. At the moment, we're looking at cars in South Africa. Originally, the German automakers, like BMW and Mercedes-Benz, at 1.2 million upwards for electric vehicles.
Yes.
Right?
So now we've got four BMW, right? The i4.
So BMW have the i4. They've got the i5 now.
Yeah.
They've got the iX1. They've got quite a big range. So BMW have quite a big range. Mercedes has a smaller range. They've just got the EQE, the EQS, the EQA, and the EQB at the moment.
But you know what? Let's do this. All this EV talk is really, it's finishing my head up a little bit, right? So let's take a break. Brother Lucky, let's go for a break now. And let's talk more about this when we get back.
From our headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa, to the rest of Africa, this is CII Radio Live.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. Today we are talking about EVs, electric vehicles.
You know, I realized we jumped into this now. We didn't even talk about what's happening in the rest of the show.
Yes.
And we've got quite a special guest on tonight.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Should we keep the listeners in suspense, or should we make sure that they stick around and listen to the rest of the show?
I think we should keep them in suspense.
Okay.
So that they can carry on listening.
Okay.
Okay. So we're talking EVs, and Tesla just recently refreshed their Model 3. So I don't know if you can remember, I think it was 2016 when the Model 3 came out.
Was that their first model that...
Model 3, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. So they have the Model X and the Model
The X is T. The doors, so, the yes. cowl wing, right?
It's actually 1 year in South Africa.
Yes. You were telling me about
it.
We must go and check it out.
My son and I did see it.
Yeah.
But we haven't driven it yet.
Okay.
Or been in it. I don't know if we'll be able to drive it, but maybe just, you know, jump in for a drive.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We must go and have a look at it.
Yeah, so they Tesla has released this car, and it's got the highest range, which is over 600 kilometers.
So wait, that means you can drive to Durban with it,
basically.
Yeah,
well, just about.
Depends where in Durban you're going.
But there's so many charging stations now along the way. Grid cars have put up quite a lot of charging stations. Jaguar, Land Rover.
Audi has one at Mall of Africa. We've seen that one.
There's plenty. So you're not going to not be able to charge your car.
Okay, but now my question is, I'm driving to Durban.
Yes.
I obviously don't want to do it on one, call it, tank, because it's risky.
One charge.
Yeah, one charge. if I stop somewhere and I need to call it recharge, do you know plus minus what is the time that I'll be waiting there?
So there's fast charge, which takes about 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously that's like normally at these like stations that you go to. But then if you want to, it's just basically like your phone charging, you know, like you fast charge it if you want to get it up quickly, or you plug it into a wall plug and it takes its time. So if you plug it in at home, you're going to leave it for the night for 6 or 8 hours or whatever it is, and then it's going to charge nice and slow. Mm-hmm. But if you need to get back on the road, so each vehicle, electric vehicle, has the same setup for charging. The ports are the same. It's like your standard USB-C,
sure,
but not,
sure.
It's obviously an AC or DC adapter that you put in, and you get a fast charging adapter that you put on it, which obviously charges it faster.
Okay. So already just talking about this, I'm seeing a gap in the market for, call it like a power bank for your car. If you feel like you're going to be stranded, you can just plug this thing in. What do you think?
I think so.
So if there's any investors listening.
But it's going to be quite a big little like generator that you're going to walk around with.
No, it's very simple.
Like a battery start.
We can go to like, for example, Front Runner or Thule. It must be designed to fit on the roof of your car.
But then you're just carrying around another extra battery with you.
Basically. Look, we're working around. Okay. This is still new for all of us, right? So
yeah,
we're still working around the Arctic ones. But okay, so in summary, tomorrow's World EV Day. If that's your thing, where can people like watch this?
So worldevday.org, that's where you go.
Mm-hmm.
You can see what's happening. You can sign up. If there's a meetup in your area, then you can obviously meet up. And there'll obviously be cars from Jaguar to BMW to Mini to whatever it is.
Okay, cool. So the next thing that we want to talk about is the bike, right?
Yes.
Pronounced bike.
Bike.
Okay,
bike.
So it's the Beijing. It's the Bike Beijing X55.
Yes.
A vehicle that we've both driven. A vehicle that I think needs a bit more attention, but I've seen so many already. In our like local community, I've seen maybe 5 or 6 driving around. But yeah, talk to me about the vehicle. Tell me what was your highlights of the vehicle, lowlights.
So a very underrated vehicle.
Okay.
Although it's just recently won the South African Car of the Year Compact Family.
Compact SUV. Family
SUV.
Yes.
So it's the first Chinese manufacturer brand, auto brand, that has won a Car of the Year award
in South Africa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I had the striking yellow.
Same color that I have. I'm pretty sure we had the same vehicle, but yeah.
So there's 3 trims. There's your standard one, which is the, what is it called? Dynamic. The Elite and the Premium.
Yeah.
So I had the Elite.
Okay.
You also have the Elite.
Same one. It's the middle of the.
The middle of the range.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's pretty much the same look and feel. There's just a few features that are added or taken away depending on the trim that you choose.
Right.
Like the top of the range would have your heated, ventilated seats with leather, whereas the other two don't.
Okay.
I think it has a little bit more speakers in it.
Right.
So very small changes, and the price changes are very small as well. There's like a 30,000 rand difference between the 3.
Okay.
Well, 30,000 rand going up. So this.
So between the lowest and the 60 grand.
Yeah.
Is that, okay.
So the entry level is, I think, 420,900, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yes,
then it's 450,900 and then 480,900.
Yeah. So the nice thing about them is they all fall under the 500,000 rand range.
Yes.
Right. In terms of pricing. And that's probably why we're seeing so many on the roads. Right. I think pricing is a major contributor. Yeah. This is one of those vehicles where you're getting a lot of vehicle for your money for 500,000. In terms of around that figure of 500, what can people look at besides this, or what is it competing with?
So it's obviously competing in the like Mazda CX-5
the
range.
The Mach-E as well, am I right? Which is outpriced, but in
yeah, well, even the Mazda CX-5, you're looking at their top of the range is like 700,000.
Sure. And then you've got the Moda, which plays in that same space.
Yes,
the C5. You've got, like I said, Mach-E. Qashqai, no, right? That's
the Qashqai is a little bit smaller than that.
Is it?
Yeah, cool. I think it would be more an X-Trail.
Okay. So, I mean, all its competitors are good, like 200,000 and more?
No, it's very well-priced.
Okay. Yeah. And tell me something. You know it's budget-orientated. Did it feel that way to you?
No, not at all. Okay. We didn't even have the premium, but it felt premium.
Right.
So it's got these almost like bucket-type seats.
I love the seats. I love it. The seats... I don't know how else to explain this, but the seats have been designed.
Yes.
Like you can see there's thought. It's got this like port
it's
in it.
It's almost like the Jaguar F-Pace SVR seats. So it's got, like you said, that little, what do you call it? You say port, but it's like a little like air vent.
Yeah, basically.
So that, the design is like that.
Okay.
And it's almost like a bucket seat.
Yes. And I know the interior, they also come in like some wild colors. I know there's a red, there's blue, like a baby blue, there's a gray.
There's a light gray that we had.
Yeah.
And it's also a different type of fabric. Right. So it's almost, I don't know if you know the neoprene fabric. It's almost like that, but it's their own fabric. I don't even know what they call it.
Right.
It's not a synthetic leather or anything. Okay. But it's quite nice, like you say.
Right.
The exterior as well, very well designed. It's got your concealed door handles.
Love it. You walk close to the car, it pops out, it looks great.
And did you know that it's also got the function like your BMW and Mercedes-Benz, so you can hold down the key and you can open all the windows.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the sunroof and everything. So it comes with a sunroof as well.
And a panoramic.
Panoramic sunroof.
I know lighting is quite nice. The one thing I'll tell you that I kind of picked up, if you look at like the steering wheel buttons in that, they're very, well, the unit I had was very like, call it fidgety. So it wasn't like in place. It was almost as if it was glued on and like that. But apart from that, the drive for me was amazing. Actually did quite a long road trip with the vehicle. I think I covered about, call it 500, 600 Ks with it. And it felt amazing. On the road, it like, drives really nice. There's very little turbo lag. It's a smooth drive. It's a nice drive.
So it's a 1.5 turbo engine. Yes. It's producing, I think, about 130 kilowatts, if I'm not mistaken.
So before you get around, you know it's the fastest in its class. I think it does 0 to 100 in like 7.7
seconds. 7.7
seconds, yeah.
Yes.
So it's actually the fastest in its class.
They're actually producing that engine for Mercedes-Benz. So they're using the Mercedes-Benz engine, but obviously it's not a mild hybrid like Mercedes has it.
Right.
But on that note, talking also about EV Day, I don't know if you noticed in the back where you normally have that raised hump for your drive shaft tunnel. You know, in your rear,
no.
Where you sit at the back. Did you sit in the back at all?
Oh, you mean in the middle?
Yes.
Yeah. So I didn't take note, but yeah.
So there's no hump there because they've based it on your electric vehicle. So the electric vehicle doesn't have that. So they're already thinking ahead of the design of how they're going to design the electric vehicles.
So are you saying you think there's going to be an X55E or...
Probably. Or even something in the bike range that will be electric vehicle, that will be an electric vehicle, because they've already got that design.
Right. So tell me, currently in the, call it bike stable, there's the X55 and now the B40, right?
B40
that's the
plus.
Jeep-looking
yes.
One. Have you driven that one?
Yes, I have.
And?
Very nice. So the two vehicles that I drove, the X55 and the B40, my fuel consumption was very high.
Okay.
But someone did mention on our review on YouTube that they got the consumption down to 7.2 liters.
Okay, and the claim is 7.7, right?
7.7.
Okay.
And I spoke to a lot of people, and they said they couldn't get it down to 8.1 was the lowest that they got. So this guy
says... So I remember mine hovering around the, call it 9.
Yeah,
nine.
Mine was over 9, yeah.
Okay. So mine was a lot of combined driving, but I'd actually say, based on the trip that I did, it was a good 70-30, meaning 70 bias towards open roads, which would have brought that thing down like completely. But also on that note, another thing that I really liked about the vehicle is when there was like, you know, an opportunity or the need to overtake and stuff, you didn't need to, you know, start fiddling with the gearbox and dropping gears, and then you just put your foot down and it knew what you wanted and executed it.
But not only that, the drive itself. So I don't know if you noticed in the back, the rear spoiler, it's split. Do you know why it's split?
No, tell me.
Because the G-force is pushing down on both spoilers, right?
Okay.
So it doesn't push down on a full spoiler. It almost creates this like all-wheel drive effect.
Okay.
So when you're cornering, you don't feel it as much as you would in a normal vehicle that just has one full spoiler.
Sure.
So if you tested it out, you would find that when you're cornering, you have a better gravitational pull than if you had a full spoiler.
Okay, so look, all in all, it's a thumbs up from both of us. Is this a record breaker? Are we agreeing on something?
I think we are agreeing on something.
Sure. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. You know what? Before we take this away from the show, let us go to an air break. When we get back, I think it's time we tell the listeners what's going on.
So we are interviewing, like we said last week, we wanted to get him on the show, Brother Tariq Chip Musa.
Yes.
Who just recently won at the Slammed UK event. So after the break, we're going to be speaking to Tariq Musa about his win at the Slammed UK event.
Okay.
CII Radio, the pulse of the Ummah.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. If you've just joined us, we were talking about the bike Beijing X55 as well as EV Day, but something very different to both those now. We've got Tariq Musa on the line. Assalamu alaikum, Tariq. Congratulations.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, brother? And how are the listeners doing this evening?
Awesome, awesome. It's a Friday, so we're always in good spirits on Friday, alhamdulillah. Tariq, firstly, congratulations, a very big congratulations, not just from us, but from the entire community. I know you flew the flag very high, representing South Africa on major, major scales. Just a very big congratulations.
JazakAllah, my brother. It's truly an honor and the warmth and, you know, the reception I've been receiving is amazing, eh? Really. I'm humbled by it.
You know what? From last week, we were actually talking about it. It's basically trending motoring news. And that just tells you the scale at which this is. Absolutely amazing. But Tariq, before we even start talking about cars, I have a personal question. Why Chip? Where does Chip come from?
Okay, so I get asked that a hell of a lot, and you know, it's quite a funny story. So I used to draw cars in school,
right.
And in 2017, I was busy sketching a door panel for a friend of mine's a design,
right.
And he took a picture of me sketching the door panel, and he put it on Facebook, and he was like, in America, you get chip foos. But in South Africa, you get Chip Musa, and that's
right.
How the name stuck.
Okay, I see where the analogy comes. Well played. And that name, obviously, because of what you do, just stuck, right?
It just stuck. I like to have had a few other nicknames, but sometimes your nickname, you don't get to choose, eh?
100%. Tariq, talk to us about what you've worn, the vehicle that you worn it with. Let's start there. What vehicle is it? Tell us about the vehicle.
Okay, so it's quite a special vehicle. For all the BMW fans, they'll know this. If you're not a BMW fan, you must have seen this car somewhere. So it's a 1970 BMW E9 2800 CS. It's quite a rare car with a very special story. I am the second owner on the vehicle. It belonged to a doctor previously. And when I say the car's got a special story, this car has been to four different countries. So the car has been to Germany, Netherlands, right. America, and South Africa. UK is now the fifth country, so it's quite a special car.
So wait, Tariq, has it gone for other shows, or what's required this vehicle to travel more than I did?
So the doctor was quite famous at the time, and he lived in the four different countries. So he was so attached to the vehicle, he moved with his vehicle to each country that he stayed in. And to make the story even more special, he only believed in repairing the vehicle at BMW. So this is the only E9 that I personally know of that has full service history from every country from BMW that it was in. So it's quite special.
Sure. Tariq, so tell us, what was the process of getting that vehicle to the UK?
It was quite intense. So first of all, the show is called Gravity. It's technically the largest aftermarket automotive show in Europe and UK. To put you into perspective of the magnitude of the show, 6,000 cars applied from all over Europe and UK. 600 cars were shortlisted, and shukr alhamdulillah, we managed to take one of the top five spots from 600 cars, you know. So that was quite a major achievement. As far as the shipping goes, that was quite stressful. I'm fortunate to have gotten a partial sponsor from the UK that managed to ship the car to and from the UK. As we stand now, the car has just been loaded onto the container, and we'll be leaving the UK on Monday, inshallah. So it's quite a journey this guy has had.
So Tariq, what is the process for something like this? Like, where does someone even start? Like, I want to take my car for a purpose like this overseas or to another country. How does this even start? I mean, what is the time limits and stuff like that?
Okay, so brother, it's quite a stressful journey to take on your own. So yes. You normally need to recruit a logistics company, and then you need to recruit a clearing agent. So the clearing agent handles all the paperwork and the legalities to get the car out of South Africa. And then obviously the logistic company handles the actual transportation. So finding the right company is very important. I was fortunate, C&R Global Logistics, they helped me out on every aspect, from fetching the car from the port to the car going to where it would be stored, from then taking it to the car show. So they made everything quite easy for me. But it is possible. It's never been done before. Shukr alhamdulillah, I am proud to say that I'm the first person to have taken a car to go and compete at an international show, you know. But again, I hope to see more of this for others as well.
Inshallah. And Tariq, tell us, what did you do to that E9 to get you that win?
Gee. Okay, so initially, I ran a small a poll on my YouTube and my Instagram, asking my subscribers and followers to choose one a car from a list of options that we could build. So Shukr, the E9 won purely because it had the least amount of work, or we thought it had the least amount of work. But when we actually started to do the work, we found that the car had a lot of hidden issues. So to put you into perspective, the car needed to be built in 5 weeks, or else I would miss my shipping date, and then the car would only arrive in the UK after the show, which is not what we wanted, you know. So the list of work that we did was, we did a blowover respray, we chromed the engine parts, we built a set of custom wheels, full interior, I put on quite a big amount of parts. So there was a lot of work that was done, and it was done through load shedding, and it was done after hours, because obviously my business clients' cars take preference. So from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock, we would work on this car, and we would sacrifice our Sundays to get it done. It was stressful. It's like, more stressful than writing matric and all the other difficulties I had in my life. But sugar, we pulled it off, you know.
Alhamdulillah. And Tariq, talking about your business, so this is not something that's new to you. Like you said, you were sketching cars when you were still in school, and you have your own business, which is Chicanos. Tell us a bit about Chicanos and what do you guys do?
Okay, so Chicanos is a one-stop custom shop and restoration shop. We are based in Weinberg, and we basically do everything from paintwork, upholstery, mechanical, sound, air suspension, electrical, custom wheels. So we are a one-stop shop. Shukr, we are the biggest in Africa. We've got a very nice showroom. We often do invite the public and encourage the public to please come and visit us, because cars are tied in with emotion. And a lot of people, when they come and visit us, they do get emotional because they have some sort of memory from their past attached to the cars, you know, and we love that. We love seeing people's reactions, you know. So I'll invite all the listeners and you guys to please come and visit us and, share the passion.
We definitely are interested in that. And the nice thing about what you're doing is I think you fall on, you attract two audiences. The one is because a lot of the vehicles are restored and it's like older models. You look at like the older crowd who can relate to it. And then because you're doing like such an amazing job with the customization, obviously the younger kids are all there for the air suspension and the BBS wheels and stuff like that, right?
Yes. And also, I mentioned it to someone today. We have a lot of father and son projects, and we build cars where the father and son is involved, and the son gives his opinion, okay, Dad, I want my interior like this. We even have father and daughter projects. So it's something nice to see, you know. We actually part of creating memories for families, you know, and I suppose that's what cars are about. All of us have some memory tied to it, you know. I remember my dad used to have an old 5 Series. He used to have the old Volvos, and we used to go fishing in those cars, you know. So it's quite good memories.
You know, I try to explain this to people who are not car people, and they look at it as it's like some materialistic object. And I'm like, for me personally, I've been a car person my entire life, but I relate every car to a certain time or you know, like occasion or something like that. So I completely understand what you're saying. But Tariq, you're talking about, we were talking about it, each of your cars have a name, right? And you named the E9 Nkabi. Tell us what that means, why that name, and just in general, how do you come up with these names?
So my wife always tells me I have split personalities. So I each car is a reflection of a way I'm feeling. So for example, one of my cars is called Celeb. It's a very famous car. A lot of people know it. It's been on TV numerous times. So when I want to feel like a celeb, I drive in the car, and the car is called Celeb GP. Now, Nkabi was quite an interesting story. That's the name of the E9. So when we were deciding what do we name this car, we had to take multiple factors into consideration. For example, the look of the car and the impact the car would have when it attends a car show or wherever it goes. And a good buddy of mine, Skaridas, and I were debating, what do we call the car? And then we had names like Gravity GP because it's attending the car show, but it didn't work. We had another name like Indota, it didn't work. Then my buddy said, but this is the type of car that if it goes to a show, it takes out the competition. And then we're like, okay, cool, we're on to something. And then we came up with the name Nkabi, which means hitman in Zulu, you know. So where this car goes, it takes out the competition. Obviously, you know, it's a special car. It's rare what's done to it. So, yeah, that's how we came about it.
Yes. So let me just ask you something, and I'm going to put you on the spot here. When you do have a project that you're struggling for a name with, can you please give me a call? I wouldn't mind naming one of your vehicles.
No problem. I actually have a vehicle I'm going to be building now for myself. It's an old school 2002. I can't think of a name for that car. So maybe you can help me. You know the 2002 BMW?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so I need a name, so I'll definitely take you up on that offer.
Okay, cool. I'm going to swing past you sometime. I want to have a look at it. If possible, if you can take us for a drive in it. I'm sure that will be enough problem. Inspiration for me to think of something.
100%, 100%, Shukar. And also, maybe the listeners could also get involved and maybe give us suggestions.
100%. Tariq, tell me, what other projects are you working on? You said 2002. What else do you have in the pipeline? What else can we look forward to?
Okay, so I've got, I have a little bit of a issue. It's not really an issue, but it's a issue in a way. I never get time to build my own cars because, Shukar Alhamdulillah, we're so busy at the shop, clients' cars take preference. So yes. I can tell you a few of the cars that we're building for clients. So, for example, we've got about 11 3-5 ISs that we're restoring.
So basically all the 3-5 ISs in South Africa are by you.
Gee, most of them. And it's a dream for me. I mean, some of the cars we have, we've got a 1964 Impala that we're busy building. We've got classic Mercedes-Benz. We've got three Chevy C10s. So if you're a car person, you don't have to be a BMW-specific person. If you're a muscle car person, if you're a Mercedes person, a VW person, BMW, whatever it is, you can come through and come and see what we're working on, you know, because it's variety. And I believe that old cars have souls, and that is why we name them, you know. So yeah, it's quite exciting.
Look, for me, definitely, I'm going to take you up on this offer. I'd like to see what you're busy with. You know, it's something that you don't know, but I've been following your YouTube journey. I've been looking at your cars for a while. And the first time I actually saw Celeb in person was at German versus Jap. It honestly was the highlight of the show. The workmanship on that vehicle, Ziad, you need to see this.
But, Tariq, did you not have a vehicle at the Festival of Motoring as well?
I did, and that's also such a weird story, because at the same time the Festival of Motoring was happening, I was in the UK attending the Gravity Show, and my good friend that's launching his energy drink now asked me to please bring two of my cars for display, and I said no problem. So it was kind of cool attending two car shows in two different continents, so much so that he even had people walking up to him and saying, but isn't Chip supposed to be in the UK? How come his cars is here? And then they had to explain, you know, the why the cars are there. So it was quite cool attending two car shows, two different countries on the same weekend. Definitely,
you know, not a lot of people can say that.
So what was the cars that definitely. You had at the Festival of Motoring, Tariq?
I had a Audi R8. That car's called Top G. It's got air suspension, quite custom as well. And then I had my 635, the red one, which was called, it's called Ngamla GP. So, that was quite cool. So people were sending me pictures of the 635 while I was in the UK, so it was cool, and the R8.
Tariq, in conclusion, I know I asked you for 15 minutes, but you know what, there's just so much to talk about, you, Chicanos, your win. But in conclusion, well, what is your dream car build? Well, what would you like to say, hey, you know what, this is going to be the highlight of my career, of my motoring journey? What vehicle do you think that would be?
So to be honest with you, the E9 is one of it.
Okay.
But my ultimate car that I would love to own one day, inshallah, and customize is a Lamborghini Diablo. Yes. That is my ultimate Lamborghini Diablo and a Ferrari Testarossa.
Yes.
Those are my two ultimate cars that one day I'd love to build, you know, because as a kid growing up, I used to have the model cars. I used to have the posters on my bedroom wall. And it was always that thing of one day when I'm big. So that's definitely my two cars that I'd love to, inshallah, own one day.
Inshallah. But let me be the one to say that one day when you're big, you are big right now. So congratulations once again. Tariq, tell people where they can find you, what you're doing, Instagram, YouTube, where can people get you?
Okay, so my Instagram handle is chip_Musa, M-O-O-S-A, not the M-U-S-A. Okay. If you guys want to follow a lot of our builds, we have a YouTube channel. It's Chicanos Customs. And then I'm also on TikTok, chip_Musa. Our address is number 3 Lee Street, Weinberg. You know, we're on the highway. You'll see us. It's a building that looks like a celeb's interior. And then, yeah, I'm inviting people to come over, come see us. And also, I'm super proud of being able to represent South Africa. You know, this was a win for South Africa, not only for me, not only for my shop. It's a win to show that we surely do have talent, and anyone can do it. I started my business many years ago in a single garage, believe it or not, and I never, ever thought that I'll be able to attend and compete at an international level. So I'm here to tell all the listeners that also want to strive for their goals. Anything is possible. Just believe in yourself. And very important, you must do what you love. That is my slogan. Do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. Trust me, I'm living proof of that. So follow your dreams.
Alhamdulillah. Tariq, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real honor speaking to you.
Oh, Jazakallah so much for sharing all that with us, Tariq. Congratulations once again. And we wish you all the best, inshallah. We hope to see the Diablo and Tessa Rasa soon, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen. Jazakallah so much, and I appreciate your guys' support and also recognizing this win. So jazakallah for that. And jazakallah to the listeners for tuning in as well. Come visit us.
Definitely. So if you've got a vintage car, you've got, you know what, if you just have a love for cars, go pass, check out Chicanos. They're on the highway just as you pass Marlboro, between Marlboro and Sandton. Big building, can't miss it. You'll see a whole lot of really cool rides outside. And then also, if you've got a project, you know, you're working on something, a lot of people, you know, you can hear the passion in Tariq's voice. Like I'm saying, I sent him a message saying, can I have 15 minutes of your time? Almost half an hour later, but you can hear the man's passion. You know, you got a vehicle that's been laying in your in your yard or been in your family for a while. You don't just want to give it to anyone to do, you know. Tariq has a proven track record. But like he's saying, just go out and look at what they're doing. It's absolutely amazing. Have you watched any of his YouTube videos? Have you seen the builds he does?
I've seen his cars. I haven't seen the actual process behind it, but I've seen the finished product. And the detail is it's very meticulous.
Absolutely amazing.
Yes.
And you know, the other thing is he works on all of these cars that I call my local heroes. You know, 325 IS, just the box shape in general. I honestly think if you have a box shape and you haven't heard of Chip Musa, I don't think it's possible, really. He just does it so tastefully. And I mean, obviously, it takes your guidance into record when he's doing things, but just absolutely amazing.
Yes. Okay, so I think we're breaking for an ad now.
Do we have an ad? No, we don't.
We don't have an ad.
No. Okay. No, we have 5 minutes to finish.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, really nice show. Like I'm saying, Tariq was really good. Again, a massive win for the car building community of South Africa, for the cars of South Africa, just for South Africa as a whole. I mean, this is flying the flag at the highest stage. Then yeah, just to recap on today's show, EV Day is tomorrow.
Yes.
Something Ziad is going to be waking up very early in the morning for. What else did we speak
about?
So
this weekend, going on, you're talking about a big one for South Africa.
Yeah.
This weekend is rugby weekend. So tonight is the start of the World Cup.
Okay, so it's
France
opening
and New
tonight,
Zealand.
Right?
Yes, France and New Zealand tonight. And then Sunday, the Box are playing, the Springboks.
Who are we playing? Forgive my ignorance.
I think it's Scotland, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is that like an easy win for us? How much of a rugby fan are you?
I am a rugby
fan.
Listen,
I know Siya Kolisi because of his alignment with Mercedes-Benz.
Okay.
And that's about it, right? But I am in the process of buying myself. Because isn't Fridays we have to wear Box jerseys now?
Yeah, today already people are wearing it.
So we need to get one.
Yeah.
Urgently.
No, so I met, talking about through Mercedes, I met Lucanio Arm and Makazulim Mapimpi because they were also friends of the brand.
Okay.
Through Cadbury, I met Malcolm Marks. So I've been around the meeting all the.
Okay, so you're a junior boss
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
You know your way.
So talking about that, do you know that Land Rover is the partner of?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So they've just launched a limited edition Defender. Okay. Also an EV.
Really?
Yes. They're only producing 23 for like a special edition, World Cup edition.
Okay.
Okay. And it's going to be basically taking the players or whoever dignitaries around the World Cup.
Okay.
And then they're going to sell it afterwards.
Okay. So like as an auction or something. Yeah. Is the money going to be generated for something or is it just...
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
It might just go into...
So besides the fact that it's EV, is there anything else special about this vehicle?
So they've got the colors of the World Cup in the interior.
Okay.
They've got a... it looks like a little like World Cup... the emblem in your puddle lamp.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
So it's... Very and oh, and I think on the dash it has the number because obviously there's only 23 that's made.
Okay, so like one of 23.
Yeah.
Okay.
And on that note, they have what they call the Defender Trailblazers, mm-hmm. right? And interestingly enough, they have two Muslimas.
Okay.
That are part of it. So, two Muslim female rugby players are the Defender Trailblazers. So they've chosen. I think it's about five or six. There's not even many. And two of them are actually Muslim female rugby players.
Interesting.
As their ambassadors. Yeah.
Sure. That's a niche market. No, but that's amazing.
So if there's any sisters that would like to get into rugby, there is two
opportunities.
Yeah. You can Google Zainab Alema and Irtika Ayub. So one... Irtika Ayub is from Kashmir.
Okay.
And Zainab Alema, I think she's from Ghana.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. But yeah, that brings us to the end of today's show. Went really quickly.
Yes, it did.
But that brings us to the end of today's show. So from our side, myself and Ziad. have a great weekend.
A safe week.
A safe great week. Oh, yes, it's a full week until we speak again. Yes, inshallah. From our side, assalamu alaikum. Have an amazing week ahead. Please think of us in your du'as. And inshallah, next week, Friday, same time, same place. Only finite, the good and the bad times will be left behind as we make our way through this journey to the finest place for infinity. Lord, don't deny me your paradise, Jannah, Jannah. It's all I ever wish for. It's not eternal, but the next will last forever. Jannah, Jannah, it's all I ever wish for. Oh God, please don't deprive me a bliss for life eternally.